our announcements. There are a couple of announcements in the bulletin that I'd like to draw your attention, and then we'll share prayer requests and begin worship. You'll see that we are doing, because it was so well attended last year, and the feedback was great, and I had several people ask me, are we going to do it again? And we are. We will be having Bible studies each night of Holy Week, and you'll see the schedule there. We've got some new participants that will be hosting us. I'm grateful for that. And then you also, I put which of the four lections for each day we'll be focusing on and what the topic will be. This year I crafted it all around some aspect of Jesus Christ. So it should be a wonderful time being in the Word together. So please plan to attend that. And thank you for all those who opened up their homes. Also, you'll see that we are also doing the flowering of the cross again on Easter. So that's a special tradition we do. So bring some cut flowers and some to share. And I think that'll be a wonderful time together. Any other announcements? I know Dave Gardner had one. And good to have you back, Dave.
Thank you. I apologize, I have not been Mr. Diligent on the CTRN app for everyone. I'd like to make a couple announcements. One, if you look at it, if there's any changes to the information, send me an email and I promise I will hop over to the computer and get it updated. But more importantly, if you've changed phones or done something and you cannot get on the app on your phone on CTRN, that's because Jesus, the people back in Indiana, had an update in which we do not have the right information for. So I talked to them yesterday, and they gave me a workaround that will make CTRN work on your phone. And so if you're having trouble and you've got a new phone or something that doesn't work, you need to contact me and I'll give you the workaround to get your app back up on your phone. And that's the CTRN update. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. And it's a wonderful tool. If you don't have it on your phone, I prefer mine almost daily, but it's just a wonderful tool. So avail yourself to it. Any other announcements? All right, let's move to prayer requests. We want to keep Robert Wright in our prayers. Where is Robert? There's somewhere. Robert's having surgery tomorrow morning. His procedure. They don't know exactly what they're going to wind up doing until they get there. So keep Robert in prayer. I'll be there to have prayer with him, representing our congregation. Also keep Glenn and Ruth Harvey in prayer. They're going back to Duke today, and Ruth will be going in for a consult and some more testing tomorrow, and to see what they can do, because this past week she's had just no energy at all, and we need to have that corrected. So keep them in prayer too. And Agnes is coming along quite well, and she wanted me to tell all of you, and she's told me two or three times with tears of joy, that we have such a wonderful, caring congregation. So, you know, you guys have provided a lot of food for her, and she truly wanted me to express her appreciation to all. Any other prayer requests? Carrie.
Keep my mom in prayer. She goes Tuesday for her operation. And also, I know Sean Butler's been on a prayer list, but continue to pray for him. He stopped all treatment.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Continue to pray for your family, and it's really hard for him.
What's his wife's name?
Robin.
And do they have children?
They do. They have not together, but.
Okay. All right. Larry called, and he, Shepherd, he has what I've been fighting all week, and that's terrible allergies. So keep Larry in your prayers. Yes, go ahead.
She has to go in within the next
care, and we'll trust that the surgery goes well. I saw John and then Kathy.
I was going to say Patty, but...
Oh, okay. Kathy.
How's Jerry?
Doing well. Her foot's coming along very nicely. Thank you. Anyone else? Let's go to prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you that you hold this world in your hands. You've got the entirety of the world in your hands, for you not only created all things, but it's by your good pleasure that they're held together and function. And we thank you for that. And we trust and rest in that. We pray that you'll be with us today as we hear your word read, as we hear the music, as we hear the sermon, and as we receive your precious gift at the table. We pray that we would see Jesus and him alone. May Christ be our focus, not only in worship, but in life. And as we're living life and walking through the difficulties of life, we pray that you will just help us to keep our eyes stayed on you, and knowing that in doing so, we'll have perfect peace. We pray for those that have been lifted up. We pray for Robert and his procedure tomorrow, Ruth and her testing. We pray that you'll continue to be with Sean and Darby. We pray that you will be with Patty as she's preparing for surgery. Even now, prepare her body for that procedure. We also pray that you would continue to be with those recovering from surgeries. We think and echo with Agnes just the joy of being with a truly loving body of brothers and sisters, and it's a joy to see and to participate in. And we're grateful that in Dave's recovery, he's able to be back with us today. Thank you for an opportunity to enter into worship, and we pray that we would do so to glorify you in your holy name. Amen. As always, we gather only in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your loving mercies, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquities, and cleanse us from our sins. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
You'll join with me for a portion of Psalm 119. We will read that responsibly, and then we'll stand and sing hymn 245. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By keeping to your words.
With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not stray from your commandments.
I treasure your promise in my heart, that I may not sin against you.
Blessed are you, O Lord. Instruct me in your statutes.
With my lips will I recite all the judgments of your mouth.
On that day you grant me light in the way of your decrees, that I may all my enemies.
I'll meditate on your commandments and give attention to your ways.
My delight is in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Thus says the Lord, Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is Hebrews 5, 1 through 10. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
"Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Let me apologize up front if I have some interruptions in the sermon, because I, like Larry, have been fighting that allergies for about a week. Those trees are beautiful to look at, but not so pretty. I've been hacking since 2:30 this morning, so bear with me, and I'm not contagious. So the other thing is, when we were saying the Lord's Prayer, praying the Lord's Prayer together, I'm privileged and honored to visit with a lot of older people near death, and I would encourage you, if you don't, to adopt a systematic plan of memorizing Scripture, because I can assure you, one day you will not only be blessed by what you've stored away, as we read in Psalm 119, but you'll be a blessing, because there's a lady, she's going to be 100 years old next Sunday. And her mind's as good, probably better than mine. She can't hear well, but, and her sister's 102 and still drives. And to hear this woman recite in, from memory the 23rd Psalm of faith and the Lord's Prayer, let us all commit ourselves to do what the psalmist said and to hide his word in our hearts. Were you with me on that?
Amen.
Amen. All right. That was a sermon.
Amen.
The sermon today is from 1 Timothy about women being silent. Love you, Gail. All right. Grace and peace be to you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A new word has entered into the English language in the last several years. It's based on an acronym, and that word is MAGA. You know what MAGA stands for? Make America Great Again. Let me tell you, I do want America to be great. I want this church to be great. I want what I put my hand to and what I, my work and my calling, I want to do that in a great way. But who, the issue is, who gets to define greatness? See, we all agree we want these things to be great, but who gets to define greatness? We talk about goats, the greatest of all time. And some of them even took this title for themselves. There was no doubt, if you asked Muhammad Ali who was the greatest, he would say, "I am." Wayne Gretzky was called the greatest. Jackie Gleason, they called him the great one. Is it Ben Hogan or Tiger Woods? Is it Tom Brady or Johnny Unitas? Back when men used to play football and they didn't have all these rules they have now. Do we look to the Republicans to show us how to be great? Do we look to the Democrats to show us how to be great? Who gets to define what it means to make anything great? As with everything, only the Creator, only the one who made this world, can tell us how this world should operate. Only the Creator can answer what is great and who is great. And our thoughts about it need to be in submission to His words, teaching about what is great. This is a continuation of what I read last week from Psalm 55, Isaiah 55:8, that His ways are not my ways, and His thoughts are not my thoughts, or yours either. So we have to look to Him to see. You know, there's nothing wrong with the desire to be great. If you are playing a game and you're saying you're only playing for fun, you'll lie about other things too. I mean, we all want to win. We all want to be on top. I Googled this past week and was doing some research. If you put in boss or leadership, you get more than 250,000 hits. If you put in servanthood, you get less than 100. See, we want to be on top of this pile. And so did the disciples. History is our story, and the human heart is a human heart. And it's interesting in Mark, there are three times that Jesus predicts His passion. He tells them, I'm going to die. And interesting enough, showing how we are, what follows every prediction of the passion are the disciples arguing who's going to be in control, who's going to rule. You know, it's like people dividing up grandma's china while grandma's sitting there. They want to know who gets to do this. And we can see from this passage that Jen read for us today, it's almost comical, their arrogance. It's almost comical. I mean, who goes up to Jesus and says, you're going to do whatever I tell him to? Who says that we are able? But let's look at it, please. I'm going to try to define greatness, allowing this passage to do so. So I've got four things I want to tell you that greatness is. Greatness is not being entitled. Greatness is not being entitled. I know our Constitution uses the word inalienable rights, and I understand that in that context. But brothers and sisters, when it comes to the economy of God, rights are not something we've put up the flagpole. It's rather submission. We see this in society. Everyone feels entitled, don't they? And they have a right to this and a right to that, and they're going to demand their rights. But we also see it in the church. I also hear it in prayers. Prayers that basically are grocery lists that we give to God. That you must do this, Lord. You've got to do this, Lord. Even teachers that will teach you on television and other places, that the whole purpose of prayer is for you to claim what is rightfully yours and to demand. That's the language they use. To demand that God gives it to you. Much like the disciples said to Jesus, do unto us whatever we ask. This is what we want you to do. And we need to be careful that our prayers are not commands to God. It's a dangerous place to be in the position of directing the Almighty. Prayer is an act of submission. That's why we close our eyes and we bow our head. And we pray not expecting because we're entitled a wonderfully pleasant life, but submitting ourselves to God's greater plan. We are not entitled. If you want a wonderful read, I read it again twice this week. It's probably a decade old. And some of you may have read it, but years ago at a graduation commencement address, a professor named David McCullough wrote or gave the speech, You Are Not Special. And it's well worth reading, if any of you. And the truth of the matter is, we are not entitled to anything. Everything we have is a gift, isn't it? All is from grace. We should be grateful for everything and in everything. Truth of the matter is, there's only one thing God owes you. And that is, God owes you that if you believe in the holy gospel of Jesus Christ, he has vowed himself that he will redeem you. And that's enough. That's enough. God does not owe me a financially and successful life, or a car that runs well, or kids that behave properly, or bodies that don't ache. Greatness is not being about entitled. Second thing is, which follows this, greatness is submission to God's working. It's submission to God's working. The word submission is a compound word. Sub means under, like submarine, and mission means like an agenda. And if you are in submission, you take what your agenda is and you put it under someone else's. That's why we pray, not my will, but thine be done. And so we're to submit. And this is what Jesus is saying here. Even when we don't understand it. He uses the word baptize in verse 38. And he's speaking here not of the sacrament of baptism. He's using the word which means baptizo, which is to immerse. Even when you're overwhelmed, drowning in the effects of this sinful world, of others' makings and your own decisions and mine, even when we're drowning in the waters, we're to submit to God's workings. We trust and be still. We wait on God. We just trust. I love Frank Sinatra. I love his music. I love his style. I would have loved to have carried his briefcase. I just like that era. But there's one song of his that's often played at funerals that I just want to listen to. And if it was played at somebody's funeral that you loved, well, God forgives us all of our sins. No, I'm playing. But the song, you know what the song is what? My Way. And I took that song yesterday or Friday, and I went through and circled in that short song, there are 33 personal pronouns. It's all I, me, I, me, I, me. That's not greatness. Greatness is not doing it your way. Greatness is submitting to the only great and good one who's working everything out perfectly. We just need to trust and be still and know that I am God. The third thing we see in this passage is that greatness doesn't seek to bring discord. Greatness doesn't seek to bring discord. And this is one of the things I have such a problem with our current system in so many ways, even in the church. How they define greatness leads to division. It doesn't lead to unity. It leads to, they think being great is having the most enemies. In church and in other places, greatness doesn't seek to bring discord. This isn't a military endeavor we're on. This is the economy of God where we are to let love reign. We see in verse 41, the narrative of Mark says, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. You think? I mean, none of us want to see people jockeying for position, trying to gain control that's not theirs. None of us want that. And anyone else doesn't want to see us jockeying for it. And when we do, it makes winners and losers. That's why in the New Testament and in the in this church, or in the church where I have a little influence, we won't have elections candidate, and the best man or woman gets the job, and we'll claw our way to the top. That's not the Christian way. And he says it might be the way in the world, but not here. Not among Christians. We're not to bring discord. We're to bring unity and pray for the unity of the body. And that's greatness. Greatness, as Jesus would say, is not lording it over others. It's not climbing to the top. It's choosing to serve and to get love and to give. Mother Teresa said this. And if you don't know, Mother Teresa came from affluence. So she gave up a lot to do what she did. And she wrote this. And I think this is so beautiful. The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace. See, if your definition of greatness has you winning over someone or defeating another, if your understanding of greatness is you do whatever you need to do to claw your way to the top, that might work out there, Jesus said, but it is not to be so in this, his body. And in our approach to life. And then the final thing, because all this sounds like, okay, so I do all this so I can serve others and not, you know, basically be an arrogant jerk. So what's the benefit of this proper definition of greatness? And that's my fourth point. Joy only comes from serving. The only way to joyously live life is to quit with this notion that it's got to be more, better, best. To make enemies out of not just other political parties or enemies over about neighbor, but you know, that person in the checkout line that's in the express line and has 20 items in their basket is not your enemy. That person that's driving slow on the road is not your enemy. This is not a competition. In some arenas, so don't hear me wrong, I don't think every kid that plays ball should get a trophy. I don't believe that. In some arenas, competition is good and necessary. But as Jesus would say, not so in here. Not so in how we live out our Christian life. And if we try that way, we're not going to have joy. We're not going to have joy. It'll never be enough. There'll always be someone a little greater than you, so you've got to struggle some more to get great again. Joy only comes from serving. Albert Schweitzer, and he came from a Lutheran pastor family, and he was a Lutheran theologian himself. Don't read his stuff, but his example is good. I mean, he's got some. Never mind. I shouldn't even say that. Be careful. Be cautious, because he comes to some, toward the end of his life, some interesting conclusions. But he gave up a lucrative academic and medical career to go and serve and to truly be the hands and feet of Christ. And he wrote this, and I think he's exactly right on this point. Every person I know who has been truly happy has learned how to serve others. Every person I know who has been truly happy has learned how to serve others. Let me give you a little acrostic. I started with one about greatness. Let me give you one that I really want you to live by. Joy. And I want you to remember, joy is spelled in a particular order of priority. Jesus, others, you. If you get that reversed, there's no joy. Jesus, others, you. For as Jesus would say here, even the Son of Man didn't come to be on top. He came to serve all. And in doing that, we are redeemed. Let me close with a great example of this. And it happens to be St. Patrick's Day. And Patrick was a real person. And I want, if you don't know, he lived in roughly in the 4th century. But in his Confessio, his sort of autobiography that he wrote, he says that, and the funny thing is that even though he was the patron saint of Ireland, guess what he wasn't? Irish. He was British. He was living in Britain, and when he was 16 years old, he was kidnapped by Irish pirates. And they took him back to Ireland as a slave. And he worked for about 6 years herding sheep and just working as a farmhand as a slave. He escaped when he was around 22, 23, went back to Britain, had all the joy and freedom of now no longer being a slave, no longer having to serve anyone. He became a cleric and he had some fame, and he was, in, as the world would say, doing really great. But he chose to go back to Ireland, that place that had imprisoned him, that place of suffering. And he chose to go back and to live out his life as a servant, serving those that had been his captors. He showed true greatness. But above all, Jesus Christ is the only great one. And as he concludes the gospel, may I conclude my sermon, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. It behooves us to follow his way. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, that he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven. He is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Glorious God, you created the heavens as the place for your glory to dwell, and the earth as a theater for your glory to come among us. You called your people to be a kingdom of priests, in your church to be a priestly kingdom. In Melchizedek, you showed us your people's vocation to be a righteous king. And in Jesus, you show us true righteousness and true majesty. You lift up your Son, Jesus, in cross and resurrection to draw all people to yourself. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Righteous God, when the hour comes for your Son to be glorified, he sat down with his disciples and reenacted the story of your liberating purpose for your people. We gather as your disciples to reenact your liberating purpose in the death and resurrection of your Son. Come among us now that others may see you in us, and we may behold your glory as these gifts of bread and wine be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who with the disciples at supper took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Heavenly God, you have glorified your name. Glorify it again today, that those who stand before you with prayers and supplications made with loud cries and tears may find in you the solace for their aching, the joy of their desiring, and the goal of their yearning. As you lifted up your Son through suffering to resurrected glory, lift up the wretched of the earth to find peace and rest at your side and in your heart. Bring all who would see you face to face with your Son in the power of your Holy Spirit, until all injustice is transformed by your mercy, all deceit healed by your truth, and all oppression dismantled by your grace, until your kingdom is known on earth, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's so much in the scripture. It truly is our story, and we relate to the disciples. We know that, as I preached about that competitiveness and that need to achieve. But we can also relate to their being mistaken when Jesus said, "You will be baptized. And are you able?" And they said, "We are able." But they weren't. And you aren't. And I'm not. They say the Lord doesn't put more on them than he puts inside of you. Well, I don't think that's really very comforting, nor is it biblical. The truth of the matter is, whatever is allowed to come upon you, it's not something in me that the Lord puts that enables me. I'm unable. But the irony is, because Jesus Christ is absolutely able, and all we need to do is confess that we are unable. And then with Jehoshaphat, we can sing with joy. The battle is not ours. It's the Lord. So we come to receive the one who's absolutely able. And in this receiving, we confess that, as a hymn or song says, we can stop fighting a battle that's already been won. For in his body, he has made our peace. Let us just relish in it, believe it, receive it, and give him the praise for it. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in sincerity and truth, to come and to receive the very body and blood of Christ. This is not our church's table. This is the Lord's table. So all Christians who truly believe our Lord and Savior are invited to come to receive our Passover lamb. Let us keep the feast.
Since the body of Christ broken for you, and the blood of Christ is shed for you.
thank you for your presence. The sweetest truth we know, that you demonstrated your love, not an abstract forgiveness or a simple fixing of all that was wrong, but we are so grateful that you manifested your love in Emmanuel, God with us, to have the presence of the triune God through Christ, through the difficulties of life, is better than to having a difficult, free life without your presence. So we cling to you alone. We seek to love you more, always knowing it's only because you loved us first. We thank you for your perfect love, and we pray in the name of the one who demonstrated it for all. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing together hymn 438. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Thank you.